The message today is how important it is to be an individual with God. And religion, Christian religion, allows you to hide yourself within a group and you conform to what they tell you, religion tells you what is how a Christian is supposed to look and act. And we understand that there's a level of holiness that is acceptable, that we're all going to pursue holiness. So I'm not talking about different standards here. I'm talking about your personality and your life as an individual. Why it's so important that you are okay with being unique and being independent with God. Because even though the characteristics of God, the characteristics of Christ is a standard we all pursue to bring into our life. That is the holiness of God in our life, the standards of holiness, the standards of walking in the love of Christ, those type of things. That is not unique because we are all transforming into that image of Christ that's in us. And so we shouldn't be different in a few things. We don't want to be different in foundational doctrine. We want to find the truth and make that part of our life. And that's really our pursuit as a church, is to lay down truth and doctrine. What is not negotiable? We don't negotiate certain doctrines. Doctrine tells us how to become it. In other words, the truth in the Bible, what we call doctrine, is to influence us to become that. We don't go to the Bible and try to tell the Bible how we should be. So we don't need a new Bible for every generation. I'm not sure what generation we are now. Are we Gen Z or Gen Y or whatever we are today? We don't want the Bible to change to touch that generation as much as we want the Bible to tell that generation what a Christian is. But as an individual, you are very unique. Your personality, the parts of you that is pure, what you like, what you desire in your life, that should be unique to you. And the Holy Spirit, when he comes into your life and you spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, he doesn't try to turn you into a different person. He tries to help you to grow into all that God has for you. And that means that what God has for you is going to be different than anyone else. And you need to be okay with that. Janelle's testimony was excellent because it's her telling her family that I have to do what God tells me to do and be who I'm supposed to be. I can't conform into what you want me to be. And so in your life, you're going to have different seasons. When I have a bunch of young guys hungry for God, sometimes they would get so zealous, they would abandon their responsibilities at home. When you're single, it's easy to not have a lot of responsibilities. But when you got a wife, which you chose to get married. When you create kids, that's a choice. When Christy and I created our two kids, that was a promise from me as a dad saying, I want to be in your life forever, but especially in the next 18 years, I'm going to be present and here to help you. And that became a difficulty to be a traveling minister when you got kids. So Chrissy and I, we chose to stick together. So we packed them into a car and we traveled all over the place together as a family so that I could be in their life rather than just leaving them and saying, I got to go preach the gospel, woman. You take care of the family and take care of all this stuff. And so there's a personal walk with God that's available for you. And as you spend time praying in the Holy Spirit actually comes into your life where you're at and begins to help you to grow in that inner man, and you begin to find out who you really are from him. And it's like with Jesus. Jesus was a unique personality. When he walked, did he walk with big, was he like one of those strong walkers that walked with great big steps? Boom, boom, boom. Or was he a quick walker with little steps? Did he strut or did he scoot? You know, like he walked the way Jesus walked. You know, when he, I don't know if they had ice cream back then, but did he like chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream or strawberry ice cream? You know, did he laugh with a strong laugh, or did he have that machine gun laugh, the laugh? What laugh came out of him? You know, what jokes did he like? What food did he like? He doesn't want us to be the same in personality. You know how boring life would be if we all had the same personality? You know, he wants us to be unique in our personality, but like him in character and like him in the relationship with the Holy Spirit and like him in love, but to be unique in who you are. And that's what I wanted to encourage you in today, was to be safe with God where you're at is so important, and not continue to strive always to be what other people, what you think other people want you to be. You need to know it's okay to be unique. You know, when I do marriage counseling with people, it's always quite interesting how certain couples end up together. And you wonder, like, why people end up together. There's a reason you got married to your spouse. There's a reason why you were attracted to each other. And it's mostly not because you're the same. It's because you're different. And being different means you're going to have conflict, you know. And I've raised my kids to be okay to speak their mind in respect. They got to be respectful. But when we all, you should see us fight as a family when we try to go out to eat. You know, where are we going to eat dinner at? We're going to go out. Where are we going to go? And everyone has a different opinion. So it's a negotiation time all the time, because we all have different tastes. You know, Ava likes certain restaurants. Harrison likes different types of food. Harrison is usually the hardest to negotiate with. And then, you know, Christy likes things. I like things. And so it's always a negotiation. And for my birthday, Harrison came with me to Waffle House. You know, I've been begging my family for a year, let's go to Waffle House. And I get negotiated out of it. I get, you know, we're not going to Waffle House, you know, but I like Waffle House once in a while. And it took me a year. And finally, for my birthday, Harrison took me to Waffle House, you know. So it's okay to be unique. And I remember Pastor Dave told me one time, he said, and it really helped me, because he said, Alan, when you start preaching with other preachers, if you're not secure in who you are, you'll want to compete with them and try to out-duel them. And he says it's very important that you be who you are. Otherwise, you will start to strive for the spectacular. And then he said it's even worse when you have a great service one Sunday or one message, and you know something great happens. The anointing comes really strong. The Holy Ghost falls and people are touched, and that, he said, the danger is next week you'll try to compete with yourself and have a great service like you did last week. And he says it's very important that you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you through who you are. And that freed me up as a preacher, where I quit trying to impress people and I just begin to be me. And learn who I was. And I found out that being me was what was important in my walk with God. Being sincere where I'm at. Being honest where I'm at. And being sincere with who I am and what God does through me. You know, I have one preacher friend who wins people over with his dramatic, incredible testimonies. And that's how he wins people over. Is this is what God did through me. I did this. I showed up and God worked through me and I prophesied or I prayed for someone and they got healed. He would win people over with his testimonies. But then once he won them over with his testimonies, where they thought, oh, you're really special. God's really using you a lot. I want to follow you. Then the next week he had to increase his testimonies. Otherwise the people would get bored and quit following him. So what happened was he began to increase his stories. Eventually everyone started to realize, oh, he's embellishing his testimonies because he's, soon it was, they got bored with just witnessing and got to, raising the dead and, like stories like, yeah, we had, raise the dead yesterday or something. And you'd investigate and find out that, no one was raised from the dead. It was just, like one story. Yeah, someone in our church raised someone from the dead. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. And then I investigated a little bit, like, well, what happened? Well, the guy went to his daughter's room and found her laying there and she was dead. So he prayed for her and she woke up. And it's like, oh, so she was in a deep sleep is what it was, and she wasn't dead. It was just when you try to impress people, you become inauthentic and people will figure that out, especially your spouse. So that guy has to move every 4 years because he goes to a city, impresses everyone with his testimonies. They all look up to him. And then 4 years later, they figure out that there's something not authentic about this guy. So he can't impress them anymore. So he got his following by impressing them. Another lady I know wanted to impress people with teaching. And when she started preaching, she wasn't confident in herself. So she would steal other people's stories and teach them as her own. She would take a book from a preacher. And she would read the book from the podium as if it was her own teaching. And I felt so sad for her now, but I remember one time she'd say, yeah, I had got inspired to pray in the Holy Ghost. And I went in and quit my job and got a room and turned a nursery kind of thing into a prayer closet. And I had a friend praying with me and she read out of Pastor Dave's book, his testimony, and made it her own. In fact, in her church, someone put together all of her sermons and made a book and asked me to read it and kind of judge it before they printed it. And I found stories from Joel Osteen, from Dave Roberson, from Kenneth Hagin, from Kenneth Copeland. And I said, you can't print that book. Many of those ministries will sue you because she's literally robbing their story and not giving them credit for it, making it her own. Another preacher I know used sensationalism of traveling up to heaven, having dreams and visions and seeing angels and hearing things all the time. And it got so bad that because he impressed people that they would start to follow him. And then he'd have to keep them. So he'd have to always have a better spiritual experience the next week. Well, soon he was traveling to heaven twice a week, 3 times a week, every day, meeting personally with Jesus every day. It's so important that you start where you're at and be okay with where you're at and allow God to build you going forward. And he will build you and walk with you going forward where you're always safe with him and you're always okay being yourself. And it's like it when you're young and you're dating, you can try to be somebody to impress boy or a girl that you're chasing, whether you're a boy or a girl, of course. And so you're trying to impress the opposite sex so you can morph into what they want you to be. and they fall in love with the pretend person you are. Well, you know, like the old joke where a guy goes to a bar and there's a woman singing up there in the bar, and he falls in love with her voice and thinks she's the bomb. So they run off into Las Vegas and get married that night, you know, and he takes her home and she pulls off her wig and takes off her fake eyelashes. And then she pulls off her fake leg and he looks at her and goes, "Oh, sing, baby, sing," you know, you know, because he didn't know what he's getting into. And how bad is that when you get married to someone and you won them over by pretending to be someone you're not? Then every day you wake up, you got to be that fake person to keep them happy. Where if you're just yourself and you find someone who loves you for being you and with your personality, whatever that is, with your laugh, with your quirks, with your struggles, but they love you because they fell in love with you. Then you wake up every morning and you're just yourself, and there's someone in your room that loves you because you're you. Not that we don't need to improve, of course, and you know, challenge ourselves to improve in areas. But what a peace it is to be married to someone who loves you for you being you. And so your calling and what God has for you is that unique, that it's going to be found in you being you. That walking into your calling is not something where, well, what if I give my life to God and follow him and he takes me off to the jungles and I don't like mosquitoes. I like air conditioning. I like comfort. I don't like living in the hot tents and in the jungle and eating monkey brains for dinner. See, your calling is going to be exactly designed around who you are. When God met you in your mother's womb, he had designed a calling for you around the person he's going to make you as you spend time with him. You don't have to adapt to fit into your calling. Your calling, when he puts you in it, will be exactly who you are. It's not a work to be who you are. It's not an effort to be who you are when you grow with him. This understanding of being at peace with where you are and knowing that, yes, I got to overcome things. Yes, I've got to mature. Yes, I've got to grow in God. All those things are important. But it's not that he's going to assign you to something that you hate doing every day. It's not going to be that you're assigned to be someone you're not and you have to perform all the time. What a peace it is to know God loves me the way I am and will help me to change and mature and be the person he wants me to be. That's a beautiful thing with the Holy Spirit. It's not a blanket standard of how you're supposed to act. When I was a young preacher, we had many preachers and I watched a certain types of preachers who would win people over. And I always was so frustrated because I can never win people over and never impress them enough. But other guys were so natural at it. And so when I was learning how to preach, I would adopt these other preaching styles to try to impress the people like those preachers did. And I remember one time there was an old preacher that took a liking to me, Dr. T.L. Lowry from the Church of God. He was one of the overseers of the Church of God. And he'd walk in the room. He was really a handsome man. He had great flowing gray hair. And he'd walk into the room and it'd be like a senator would walk into the room and his presence would take over the room. And being an overseer of the Church of God, which is only five overseers for the whole group. And he was like, you know, their pope almost. They loved him. And he would preach. I'd get there and he had me travel with him a little bit. And he'd preach very old school, eloquent. And he had a rhythm to the way he preached. He would preach with that kind of old school rhythm. And I remember him preaching one sermon. He would say, "Now I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, if you don't believe in healing, you are stupid." And the Church of God crowd all went, "Amen, I'm stupid, Brother Laurie." So if you don't believe that God is your provider, then my brothers and sisters, you are stupid. Amen, amen, we're stupid. And so I began to preach like that. And one time I got to go preach in Montana at a church that never had me. This is my first time. They had me because someone recommended me. So I went up there and I remember preaching to the church. The pastor didn't know me. He took me by recommendation to someone in his church. I didn't ask him to preach. He asked me to preach, but he was by the recommendation of someone else. And so I got up there. I was 20, 24 years old, 25 maybe. And my brothers and sisters, "You're stupid. Do you believe that God?" And I was trying to be like Brother Laurie to get the people's approval and applause. And well, this church wasn't a word of faith church, so they believed that those things were okay. That was God's will, you know. And so the pastor sat me down at the end of the service and said, "Now I'm just going to tell you that it's not good to tell the parishioners that they're stupid." And so I learned real quick that when you're 75 years old and gray hairs flowing, you can tell people they're stupid and they'll amen you. But when you're 24 or 25 and you tell them they're stupid, they don't like you. And so there was many preachers that I tried to be like, even Pastor Dave to a certain extent. In my early part, I would try to be like him. And when I came to the point of being okay with being Alan, teaching the way I teach, expressing things the way I express them, and not trying to win people over. And I found that the people were able to look through me and be impressed with God, not with Alan, and that I could just be me, and that there's groups of people that need me to be me, because we have enough of those other preachers that it's okay to be you. And I want you to be okay with being you. Maybe you are a evangelist at heart and you love to win souls and you won't shut up. We take you to the restaurant and you're handing out tracts to the waitress and asking the waitress if she's born again and trying to minister. And all I want is my eggs and bacon. You know, leave her alone so she can get my coffee. All right. Just let her do her job. Quit preaching to her. I want to do my job. Let her do her job so I can eat. And it's okay. If you're like that, be like that. But if you're not like that, you don't need to be like that. I learned that later on in life. I wish I had the confidence early on in life, but I didn't. And so this is something the Holy Spirit will help you to understand as you're praying in the Holy Ghost, that you being who He makes you from the inside, not your outward man, your inner man. There's a personality, there's a joy, there's a type of your personality that is so important for the rest of us that we learn to become a body together. I don't want people changing because they want to impress people. You want to grow in God, let Him help you to change if you need to change, but He'll help you to do that. But starting today, you need to know right now, today, you are in the perfect will of God. Right now, today, you are who God wants you to be. Now, as you keep praying in the Holy Ghost, tomorrow, you may be a little different. Great, be good tomorrow, but don't feel bad about where you are today. Where you are today is where you are. It's who you are. Be comfortable in that, in the sense of, I have a father who loves me just the way I am. And as I keep spending time with the Holy Spirit, He'll help me to confront and overcome everything I need to confront. I'm not talking about smoke, like unholiness. Like, you know, if you're living in sin, then sin is sin. You know, I'm not talking about that. Okay. You know, God, you know, I'm drinking a beer in church going, praise God. I get to be who I am. You know, I love this church. You know, you know, no, you know, holiness is holiness. Okay. But as far as your personality, it's so important that you be okay with being who you are, being unique, especially when you get married and you rub each other the wrong way because your personalities, they don't match perfectly. You know, and I'm not prophesying to any of you. I'm not, you know, you're all unique. And the way an old preacher told me was when two people become married, they become one person. They're connected to become one together. And some people do it easily. Other people do it like taking two rocks and trying to make them become one. But eventually they get there, right? And you just don't give up and you'll get there. And, but there's a reason why you married your spouse because, you know, for whatever reason it was. And so you didn't miss it. You just need to work on it, on becoming one. And good. If you're clashing, clash. If it's easy, it's easy. Great. But you'll get there if you don't quit because God needs you to be you. Your spouse needs you to be you. Those fights are important. Those arguments, those, you know, when we negotiate for what restaurant we go to, I love to watch it happen now where I remember the day Ava stood up to Harrison. It was so funny because she is stubborn like a mule sometimes. And when Harrison was a young boy, I couldn't make him go to bed. I'd say, all right, Harrison, time to go to bed. No, I don't want to go to bed. I'm not ready. You know, and so I tried to drag him and push him and pull him. And finally I said, hey, I'll race you to your room. And I'd start running. He'd run past me and that that trick worked his whole life until he was like 15 years old. Hey, I'll race you. And he'd go, oh yeah, I'll beat you. But that's how I got him into bed, just by touching that little competition bug in him. And then, Ava, when she was little, Ava, time to go to bed. I don't want to go to bed, Dad. No, let's go. Let's go. No. I said, I'll race you. And she would say, okay, go. You go ahead. You know, she didn't respond to that. And I remember driving down the road because Harrison's always been opinionated since he can talk. And I had to fight him for every little thing. And I remember them in the back of the car. And Ava was just little, but she could talk. And we were doing something, and Harrison tried to overpower her. And she said, no, Harrison, you can't tell me what to do. And she like stood up to him. And I was like, wow, that a girl, way to go, you know? And so now when we decide what restaurant we go to, it's a little bit of a war every time. And it's negotiation. Okay, well, you pick last time, so-and-so gets to pick this time. We have to figure it out. And it's so important that you be you. I know I'm not using a lot of scripture today, but I could, but you already know some of the scriptures, so I don't need to go into that. But everyone in the Bible was picked how they were and developed going forward. You know, Peter was the fisherman and who was always kind of causing trouble. That's why we all love Peter. John had an easier path to loving Jesus, becoming willing to lay his life down. Peter had a hard time with that. But they both got there in the end. And whatever your personality brings forward in struggles is important. Leon is here, and she's got the quickest wit, I mean, she could, that you've ever seen. And my favorite thing is what, listen to her to torture Harrison. Like she can torture Harrison like no one else. And she knows how to make me laugh so much. And so you don't want to lose that. You want to let God refine it, but you don't want to lose who you are. You don't have to lose who you are. You're not supposed to lose who you are to become like Jesus. You want to become like Jesus in the characteristics of Jesus, but you want to hold on to your personality, the things that make you laugh, the things, the way you talk, the way you walk, what your favorite ice cream is, needs to be different than other people. Because otherwise, we can't touch each other. We can't strengthen each other. And there's things that are in you that there's other people in this group need. And there's things that in them, that are in them that you will need. And that's why I love to see us becoming more bonded together as a body. I never wanted a church that was just a group of people receiving from me. Let me pray over you. Let me prophesy over you. Just take that, fall down and be quiet. Receive that in Jesus' name. And then go home and that's it. We want to become a body. And yes, there's times, of course, where God will share things. And there's a part of, I will give us one scripture. How about that? Just so that no one can accuse me of not using the word of God. I'll use this as a teaching for how God uses the body together. You know, for instance, I'm called to be a full-time preacher now. I wasn't always a full-time preacher. I've been in ministry since I've been 19 full-time, but not always as a preacher and never as the main pastor until now, actually. And most people have to have jobs. You got to go work a job and it's not a sign of success when you go full-time. Okay. Cause I work harder now than I did when I was, you know, working a secular job. My last secular job was when I was 19 years old, 18 years old, I guess. But you're not less because, man, I've been praying in tongues and worshiping God and God still has me working this job. I got to go to work. I got to go punch in a time clock. I got to go make money. I got to go get educated in my career. I'm just not as spiritual as the Pastor Allen or as these other preachers. And I've seen a lot of young men through the years out of zeal quit their jobs and abandon their families so they can have a stamp of approval that, hey, I'm full time. You know, I took a step of faith. I'm full time. And it wasn't a step of obedience. It was them trying to prove to other people or to themselves or to God that I have faith. I don't have to work a secular job. John Cavanaugh said to me one time, he said, yeah, I don't know, Alan, these young guys, you know, he's living by faith and God has me working. I said, John, that guy's single. He has to make $13 a month just to survive. I said, you got a wife and three kids. You know, your path's a little bit different. It takes more faith sometimes to stay in a job than it is to quit a job, you know? And anyways, there is a pattern in the body of Christ that God gives to where he wants the body to grow together. Okay. We would make sure Pastor Dave didn't have to work a job to pay his bills so he can spend time in prayer and in the word. And then on Sunday, he would come and teach. And then what he learned, we got for free. Pastor Dave would take 20 years with a verse and struggle with it and pray over it and fast over it and meditate on it. And then he'd get a revelation. A revelation would come forward out of his inner man. And then he would come and give it to us for free. In 1 hour, we would learn something that took him, you know, 20 years to understand. And then I got it for free. Well, that's God's design for the body to grow together, okay, to develop together. And the verse I want to share with you is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. And I'll just use this one verse as a picture. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. So there's a picture here that as you grow in God, as you capture something in God into your life, you now partake of the crop that you grew, right? Now, because you have that crop that you grew, you can share it with others and they can benefit without them having to grow the crop themselves. And I want to bring this into us as a body and why it's so important to come to a place where you're not just receiving, but you're participating. You're giving of yourself to others around you. I know it's a little difficult with us being an online church, but it's not impossible. It's in fact very important. And I kind of like it today, as it's a great sermon for today, because everyone's online today. So even our local church in St. Thomas, which we really lean on, the St. Thomas Church, the rest of us really lean on you. Today you're at home by yourself. And there's other people here that are at home by themselves who live in that condition where they're always by themselves. And seeing you and hearing when Michelle or Jim mentions their name, we do that on purpose because we want you to know that we see you. We appreciate you being here. It adds strength to them. And there's people in this group that need connection. They need fellowship. And it's not wrong to need it. You're not weaker because you need it. It's you. You need that. You know, I'm the type where I can not talk to people for 6 months and be okay with it. You know, I have to make myself step out. But other people are the opposite. They need fellowship. They need connection. And I need people like that in my life to break into me, you know, crack into my shell sometimes. Hey, get out of that shell, you know. And so there's things in you, in who you are right now, that God needs to add to the someone else in this group. Whether that is a strength of personality, whether it is a laughter, whether it is your humor, whether it is your quietness, whether it is your sharp correction, or, you know, there's certain people that are sharp. You walk in the room and they pick on every little thing. And there's certain people that love, they give hugs to everybody. The funniest thing is finding someone who's a hugger and it's putting them in the same space as someone who's not a hugger and watching the hugger work their way in, trying to get that hug out of them. And the other hugger trying to avoid the anti-hugger trying to avoid the hug. You know, it's like a cheetah chasing a mouse. Like, I'm going to get a hug out of you. No, you're not. I'm going to get you. You know, we need that. We need everyone to be who they are and to explore and benefit from the strength of each other. And so as a body, I want to encourage you to be available, to be open as you're ready. I know not everyone's ready, and don't feel bad if you're not ready yet, but we need you to be you so we can add strength to each other. When I went to Brazil the first time, it was hilarious because I'm used to Canadian people where it's mostly a handshake and a hug, you know, once in a while. But in Brazil, you show up and you get like all these kisses on the cheek. Even the men are kissing you on the cheek and you're getting hugged, and they'd hug me, kiss me, pass me around. I was being passed around like a doll. The first time I went to like, well, what's happening, you know, but that's their culture, you know, and I appreciate their culture. And what's funny is that they, because I'm so different than them in Brazil, everything I went through in my whole life of ministry, being under certain preachers who were very iron-willed and no love at all. And being under a ministry that was very controlling, and everything I went through when God put me in Brazil, it was like me as a man, my personality, my standards that developed through my life was like an antidote for their brokenness. Just being me, I don't have to show up and impress anyone. I just get to be me, and really, there's a liberty to that in life. And so if you're in a position where God's saying to you, you need to do this and that and this and that, and you look over someone else, say, well, what's wrong with me? Why is God making me do this? And the other person, they don't have to. Well, it's what I'll give you the other verse that God told Peter in John 21, after God told Peter he was going to be a martyr for him. And you're going to die in your old age, Peter. Verse 20, then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, who also leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, who's the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about that man? And Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. And so that's Jesus telling Peter, it's none of your business what I do with John, because it's going to be different than what I do with you. Well, stop comparing yourself to anyone else. It's none of your business what God's doing with them. But what is he doing for you? That's what's important. You know, I used to be quite critical of other churches, you know, and I'm allowed to criticize doctrine and criticize bad actions and that kind of thing. But really, God's pleased with every believer that they're born again. And so for the churches that only preach a soft message and try to win over the crowd, but they don't preach a lot of strength or truth, they don't even preach about praying in tongues, it's not my job to fix them. God's working with them because that's all they're giving him, and he's pleased with them. It's my job to be who I am. It's our job as a church to be who we are. And through that, God gets the glory, not us as a person or a personality. And I will admit, over the years, I've fallen for men and women's personality, thinking it was God in them. And I found out later on it was just personality. that a person impressed me with their personality. And I asked Tim one time, Tim Stemple, I said, why is it that people love Pastor Dave so much? Pastor Dave Roberson, he was loved by his church and by people all over the world. And I was blessed to be a friend to Pastor Dave, which meant he would crack jokes on me and pick on me, and I would pick on him a little bit when we were together. But I tried it from the pulpit a few times, where I would be preaching and Pastor Dave would be sitting in the crowd, and I'd crack a joke at Pastor Dave because he would torture me sometimes from the podium. And so I'd crack a joke, and a funny joke, not a slanderous joke or a mean joke, just a funny joke between, you know, two men, and the whole church would give me the evil eye. They were so angry at me. How dare you talk to our Pastor Dave that way? You know, and I remember asking Tim, well, I don't get, why is it that people love Dave so much? And I've seen a lot of preachers try to emulate that, and because they thought, if I'm like Pastor Dave, I'll get the same love from the people. And they all failed. And Tim said, Alan, it's not Dave that they love. It's the love of Christ. See, the love of Christ that the Holy Spirit helped Dave to form in him was what touched the people through the man, Dave Roberson. And so many people didn't realize that they were being changed and touched and ministered to, not by the man, Dave Roberson, not by the personality, Dave Roberson, but by the love of Christ that was in him. You know, they would be like, I love Pastor Dave. But it was really because they were touched by the love of Christ in him. And you have access to the same love of Christ that will form in you as you keep praying in the Holy Ghost and keep worshiping and keep on this path. That love of Christ is being formed in you, that people around you will be influenced and touched by it. That when people are won over, it's not by our personality. It's by the love of Christ in us, which means the love of Christ will be expressed through you differently than the love of Christ is expressed through me, because our personality is different. Don't lose yourself. You don't have to lose yourself to be in the body of Christ. You need to be who you are. And as you grow, we all have to grow. We're all maturing. We're all overcoming things and some of you are so afraid to show yourself because you think everyone's going to reject you. Like, man, if they know the real me, they'd lock the doors. You know, I'd pop on Zoom and they'd kick me off if they know the real me, you know. Yeah, we're all changing. That's okay. We're all growing, but it's okay. It's important. It's not just okay. It's very important that you be who you are and be safe in being who you are. Because not only is that for you, it's for the rest of us. We cannot grow together unless you're participating. And you can't participate in honesty until you are safe in being who you are, where you're at, and growing going forward. Amen. So God's going to meet you where you are. Keep on this path and watch how God blesses us because you're with us. Amen. Let's close in prayer. And I so appreciate you being here and so proud that you're with us, that God put you with us. And Father, I thank you right now that you're touching each one of us with your love and encouragement and strength today. And that you're adding to us every day, that we'll be the ones who grow in you. And then from that place, you'll minister through us to each other. Father, we're here to grow together, not to grow one to grow faster than another, but as a body that we're equally mature in you. Father, thank you for your anointing that you touch each one right now where they're at, that they'll feel at peace and safe and strong in you where they're at today. In Jesus' name, amen.